Greetings, dear friends, in that ever precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we've said so often, to have a false view concerning the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ is to hold wrong views about everything else throughout the universe. To have a poor apprehension of the Lord Jesus means a poverty-stricken Christian. And unless you understand who he is and what he did, you cannot understand the Scriptures, the Word of God. Today we are reading from Colossians chapter 3, and again from the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience. May the Lord bless this reading of the first six verses. In these four opening verses of chapter 3, Paul describes for us the believer's union with Christ, both for now and for the hereafter. We've already considered this in our previous broadcast, but notice, if you will, what we read in verse 3. Ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'd like for us to consider those thoughts for just a moment. When the Apostle Paul says that the believer has died, he is referring to position and not to practice. Now, if we went back to Ephesians chapter 2, we would find that before we became Christians, before the spiritual rebirth that all Christians must experience, for Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Once we've experienced this new birth, this new relationship with the Lord Jesus, Paul tells those Ephesian believers, you are no longer dead in sin. You're no longer dead to God, but you're alive to God in Christ. And now Paul tells us in this passage in Colossians, ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Once you were dead in sin, once you were separated from God because of your sin, but now, by this new and right relationship with God in the Lord Jesus, we're dead, he says, to sin, not in sin. Simply this, because of our identification with Christ in his death, God wants us to consider ourselves as having died with him, that is, with Christ. Our own hearts are always ready to dispute this fact, because we feel so very much alive to sin and temptation. But the wonderful thing is that we, by faith, reckon ourselves to have died with Christ. When we do so, it becomes a moral reality in our lives. When we can by faith see the Lord Jesus dying on that cross of ignominy and shame, and recognize that by substitution we died there with him. If we live as those who have died, then our lives will become increasingly conformed to the life of the Lord Jesus. Of course, we will reach perfection in this life? No, never. But it is a process that should be going on in every believer. As someone has said, we don't become sinless, but we do sin less. In our last broadcast, we talked from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read there, if any man be in Christ, please note that. It doesn't say if he becomes religious or if he joins a church or even if he gets baptized. Rather, if any man be in Christ. That's position wrought about by the new birth, by the work of the Holy Spirit of the living God, which says when we are in Christ, we become new creatures. And old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And this is because we have within these very bodies of ours, Paul teaches us in the early chapters of Corinthians, the Spirit of God living within our bodies. And that, friend of mine, pardon me, is the one thing that gives each and every Christian all Christians the power to live for the glory of God and for the honor of His name. Let's press on. Not only have we died, but also our life is hid with Christ in God. That reminds me of John chapter 10, where we read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Oh, beloved child of God, what a blessed portion is ours in Christ, kept in the Son's hand, enwrapped in the Father's hand. And now we read here that we are hid with Christ in God. How much more security could we have than being with Christ in God? The things that concern and interest the world and man are found on this planet on which we live. However, the things that are of greatest concern to the true believer, to that one who has experienced the new birth, to the true child of God, are all bound up, please hear me, in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. His destiny and ours are inseparable. Paul's thought in that is that since our life is hid with Christ in God, we should not be occupying ourselves with the petty things of this world, and especially those things that relate to the religious world all about us. Yes, I distinguish here between the religious world and the person and work of our Lord Jesus. So much of the religion all about us is not centered and occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many today are occupied with the trappings, with the tinsel. Some are more occupied with the gifts of the Holy Spirit than they are with the one who gives these gifts by means of the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we remember from our earlier studies in Colossians, the Lord Jesus, God the Son, is the only one who deserves preeminence, first place. And child of God, I want to ask you today, with whom, with what are you occupied? Of the Lord Jesus or some fringe aspect of Christianity or religion? We read about that motley crew who sat around the cross, and it says, sitting down, they watched Him. Oh, I want to know if your eye of faith, if your focus of attention is upon that living man in the glory, that glorified, exalted Son of the living God with a nail-scarred hand, seated this very moment at the Father's right hand. Oh, He deserves our occupation, our attention, and the preeminence that we can give Him. The Greeks came to the disciples of old and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." May that be the heart cry of you today. But there's another thought connected with the expression, "Your life is hid with Christ in God." The world does not see our spiritual life. Men of the world do not understand us. They think it's strange that we do not live like they do. They do not comprehend our thoughts, our motives, our ways. I remember the last day I served as an employee of one of the larger concerns here in Nashville. I spoke with my boss, and he said, "You know, you're the strangest fellow I ever met. You're not interested in making a lot of money." And friend, that should be our attachment to the Lord Jesus, our detachment from the things of this world, that we might be absolutely and totally in love with the Lord Jesus. John says, "Love not the things of the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Just as it said of the Holy Spirit, that the world seeth him not, neither knoweth him." So it is with our spiritual life. Beloved child of God, it is hid with Christ in God. John again in his first epistle tells us, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." The world that knows not our Christ, the world that knows not the one who became the Lamb of God, that He might take away the sin of the world, we cannot expect them to understand or know us. The real separation from the world lies not in the fact that the world does not understand, but rather that the world misunderstands the believer. Just for a moment, go back in your thinking, or if it's convenient, in your Bible, and look with me for just a moment to some of the things we saw when we considered Colossians chapter 1. The things that we have as believers, the things that we have who are Christians that the world does not have. For example, note verse 12 in Colossians chapter 1. It says, "We are partakers of the inheritance of saints. The inheritance that God has laid up for His saints, those of us who are in Christ, bless God, we're going to partake of it. Verse 13 says, we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Chapter 14, it says, in whom, that is in the Lord Jesus, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, even to the forgiveness of sins. No religion in the world can guarantee you the forgiveness of sins. Christ can. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Skipping down to verse 28. Whom we preach, that is Christ we preach, warning every man, and if you're listening today, you're outside of Christ. You may be religious and moral and refined and dignified, but friend, outside of Christ, we preach unto you the Lord Jesus, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. Skipping down to chapter 2 and verse 10, we find there that the true child of God, the one who by the authority of God can rightly call himself or herself a Christian, we are complete in Christ. Absolutely complete in Him. And friends, you cannot add anything to that which God has completed. And that's what we are, because we are found accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. Chapter 2 and verse 12 says, we have been buried with by baptism with Him and risen with Him. We have died and been resurrected in the person of the Lord Jesus. And note verse 13 again in chapter 2. And here it says, we have been made alive and He has forgiven all trespasses. Bless God, He doesn't forgive part and say, now it's up to you to work out the rest of them. Praise God, He forgives us all our trespasses. Just for a moment, a couple of other things that we have in Christ from Ephesians chapter 1 this time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all. Oh, would to God we had 30 minutes to underline the significance of this word all. He has blessed us. Who? Those of you who are in Christ. Those of you who know the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory. What has He blessed us with? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the 6th verse of the same chapter, He has made us accepted in the Beloved. There are people today that try to tell me that as a Christian, as a born-again believer, you've got to go out and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you've got to pray through till you get this. My Bible tells me that all believers are blessed with all spiritual blessings accepted in the Beloved. And what we have in Christ is by the grace of God. He gave it to us because we were rebel, reprobate sinners on our way to a devil's hell. But in repentant faith, we turn and said, Lord Jesus, Your indictment against me is true. I plead guilty. And I'll trust the Lord of glory, the Christ of eternity, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's made us accepted in the Beloved. He's seated us in the heavenly places, and He's going to conform us to His very image. Praise God, child of God, for what we have in Christ. Give Him the glory and the preeminence today. An unsaved friend, bow the knee before Him. Trust Him. Receive Christ, and He'll give you the same blessing for His name's sake. Amen.